Good morning, Freedom Church. Welcome, everyone. So exciting to be here today. If you haven't gotten to meet me, I haven't had the privilege of meeting you. I'm Pastor Eric, lead pastor here at Freedom Church. I was actually off preaching the last 3 weeks because we had a new baby girl born 2 weeks ago, and she's here today, baby Brielle. We talked about her a little bit last week, and I just want to make sure if you missed last week, you got to see Brielle and my wife Rachel here, both recovering well. She's eating well. Thank God Brielle is sleeping well as a newborn. Still awake a couple times in the middle of the night, but sleeping well overall. And so blessed that God has blessed us with a fourth child. It's with two boys and two girls, so our house is full. We actually had the conversation with Judah recently about math and how 1 + 1 doesn't always equal 2, but 1 + 1 = 6 because our family keeps growing, keeps multiplying. But anyways, I always want to say welcome, everyone. Welcome, everyone watching online. I love getting messages, especially from people watching online, that, hey, so great to check in from vacation. The reality is summertime. People are traveling, people on vacations. There's grad parties, a lot of stuff going on. You may skip a church Sunday, but you should never skip out on your spiritual walk with God. So you may take a break from something, but don't take a break from growing in your relationship with God. Don't take a step back spiritually, even if you can't physically be in the building. That's one of the reasons why we have the online service. We want to make it available to you. We want to make sure you're getting the word and worshiping with our community of gathering here at Freedom Church. But before I jump into today's message, I want to give you a little update, but I also want to share with you some opportunities and things happening here at Freedom Church. So we are actually, this is our 16th Sunday. We're only just over 3 months into Freedom Church. So we launched on March 1st, so it's now in our fourth month of existence as Freedom Church. So a lot of amazing stories, baptisms, people's lives being changed and transformed, getting to be involved in the community. And I want to share, that's one of our core values, one of our core strategies and missions as a church, is we're going to be a church outside the walls. We're working with local businesses, working with Franklin Regional School District. I shared last week, but 2 weeks ago, we were at the school, Franklin Regional. We worked with Groove Coffee and just paid for teachers to get coffee. I got letters and emails from teachers saying how thankful they are. Like, it helped them get through the day. It's the end of the school year. They needed a little extra boost. But I share that because we want to be a church outside the walls in the community, working with other churches, working with other nonprofits, working with other businesses, that we're not just existing for those of us who show up inside the walls. We also have a heart for the schools. We're really believing we're going to impact and influence the local school district, starting with Franklin Regional, but I believe going beyond that in the future as well. And we also have discipleship as a core value of ours, of really giving you opportunity to grow, to serve, to learn the word, but also have opportunity to use the things that we're learning and apply them to our lives. So we're going to have a lot more things coming in the fall, especially with Bible study groups, with discipleship opportunities, with classes. There's a lot of things coming available. We're working our way towards that in the fall. But this summer, we have some opportunities, what we're calling a summer of serving. We want you to stay connected more than just Sunday morning, but there's opportunities outside of Sunday as well. Especially if you're traveling on Sunday, here are some extra opportunities that we want you to be aware of. And I'm inviting you to get signed up, to be involved, to get engaged. The first one's actually in 13 days on June 27th, where we're doing a community outreach. Now, we have a plan right now to work with Murrysville Christian Concerns. They own and operate Friends Thrift Shop, so it's a Christian nonprofit. Great deals, by the way, if you're looking for like good clothes or good household items. Friends Thrift Shop in Export, Google it, look it up, put it in your whatever GPS system you use, app you use. Go check it out. They have really great deals, great stuff for a very inexpensive and affordable price. But they also own a community outreach building next door to Friends Thrift Shop. That community outreach center is something we believe we're going to be able to use. We are going to be able to use for different outreach opportunities, for different ministry, for the next generation especially, reaching kids right here in our neighborhood. But the building needs renovated. So they already have a roof, windows, doors, a lot of the exterior is done. Now the inside needs done. So I already have measurements, material list, been working with them to come up with, I just need people to help do the work. So on June 27th, Saturday, right now, my time frame, I would say 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Not everyone has to work 12 hours that day, but I'm throwing out there, we're probably going to work and have something to do for a long period of time. What I'm asking you is once you sign up, then we'll be able to figure out how to assign people, times, materials, tools, all those things. That's going to be doing some renovation in that building. that same day, throughout the day, we're also going to be on the trail. Westmoreland Heritage Trail runs right behind our building. We're going to be on the trail. What we do for the trail outreach is we offer water bottles, fruit, snacks for people who are healthy, running and exercising. We're trying to help them support their goals. But we're also going to be praying for them and inviting them to come be a part of checking out Freedom Church. And this is not about what we can get from people, but I want us to be a church that wants to bless people. We want something for our community, not something from our community. So we're going to be doing these community outreaches, scheduling them to the 27th and the 11th. Both of those community outreaches are going to be doing some trail outreach, some construction work, maybe some other service projects, depending on how many people sign up, what capacity we have. I've heard of a few people that are in need for lawn care, for some household maintenance things that maybe we can take care of. But also on the 11th, that Saturday, we have the Embrace Grace Baby Shower. Embrace Grace is a ministry that we run here. It's national. It's a pretty large organization. But Embrace Grace here at Freedom Church is we help single pregnant moms learn who they have their identity and value in Christ. We come alongside and we support them with learning how to be a mom. And in order to go through the program, they have to be a single mom. That means unmarried or their husband or his partner's not in the picture or not supportive. Typically, these women, they don't have any family. They don't have help. They don't have healthy help. They don't have healthy friends. That we walk with them to help support them to really be the church. And one of my heart and prayer for our church is that we would be a place where women who are pregnant outside of marriage would not be shunned away, but would be welcomed in with open arms. That we would love people into the kingdom of God, not tell them they're bad and they're wrong and they should stop doing that, but we want to welcome people. We want to love people and then let Jesus do the work of cleaning them up and changing and transforming their life. Our job is to love them, support them, and I'm so excited. A baby shower, we're going to host it right here, probably in our cafe space. One girl has gone through the program. When she completes, we're going to have this baby shower on July 11th. We're going to bless her with gifts. We're going to have some food. We're going to have a great time celebrating, praying over this one mom who has chosen to keep her baby, but also our church to really support and come alongside her. So if you're interested in any of those, also the kids camp, should mention that, July 15th, 16th, and 17th, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday evening. It's about 6:15 to 8:15, 2 hours in the evening. We're going to have crafts, games, lessons about Jesus. It's basically called a Vacation Bible School, or VBS, if you've been around church a while. But a lot of unchurched people, they don't know what VBS means. So we're calling it Kids Camp. It's just a time for kids, parents to drop their kids off for a few hours, learn about Jesus, connect with other kids, have some fun, and we get to love on them and invite them to come back as well. Any one of those things, you can sign up. Everything's completely free. We just want you to spend your time serving and volunteering this summer. So you can scan that QR code. You can also go to our website, go to the events tab, and all the opportunities for you to sign up are on there. Next Steps is on there, opportunities to serve are on there. As more and more things are added to the calendar, we have some tentative things in August and September. Once those get added to the calendar, you'll be able to find those right on our website and sign up for those things. Everyone good? Everyone's going to sign up for something today, right? Any one of those things, sign up, get involved, be a part of what God is doing. So we're going to switch gears and jump into the message today. But before we do, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, for just the opportunity to be your church, to be your hands and feet in our community. God, we thank you for this girl who's gone through Embrace Grace and is learning her identity and value is not in a man, but is in you. And God, I just pray a blessing on every single person, God, who signs up, who says they're going to serve and shows up to be the church representing you outside of these walls as well. And God, I pray for today's message that, God, you would help me speak what you would have me speak, God, that this room full of people and those watching online, they want to hear from you. God, I pray your word would just come alive as you promise it does. And God, help me just be a conduit for what you would speak in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, how many of you are big movie buffs? Anybody a movie buff? Like you love movies, watch a movie couple? You don't have to be embarrassed about that. How many of you love movies? Thank you, a couple of you. Anyone ever like binge watch a whole series? Anybody do that? Okay, it's okay. You're in church. Be honest. Be free. All right, binge watching, that's not always a sin, okay? But, you know, it's okay to watch TV and have entertainment at times. But how many of you ever started watching a movie or a series partway through? right? You miss the beginning of the movie, you start watching it, and it's like you can watch, you can follow along, but it doesn't all make the most sense. Like, I remember watching a series one time. It was like the third episode, and Rachel started watching it with me. And she's asking me all these questions about who's this person? Why are they doing that? Who's this? Where'd that guy come from? I'm like, go back and watch the first two episodes, and it'll all make sense, because now we're talking the whole time, and I can't pay attention. Many Christians treat the Bible the same way, where we read the New Testament, we see Jesus, we like the Gospels, we read Paul's letters, but we've never read the Old Testament. And some things don't really all make sense, or they don't fully make sense, until we get the backstory, until we read the history, until we see the things that were written thousands of years before they happened in the New Testament. So we got to see this whole picture of what the Bible is really communicating to us. And if we don't read the Old Testament, we miss the depth, the beauty, and really the wonder of what the Bible really is. There's so much power in God's story. It's really not two separate books. As many people think, oh, that's Old Testament, I'm just a New Testament Christian. I said, there's no such thing as a New Testament Christian unless you understand the Old Testament, because you're missing out on so much. But really, the Bible, literally translated, just means the book. It's the book, or the good book, or the holy book, and many people would call it the references. The Bible, which is comprised of 66 books, from Genesis to Revelation, 66 books of the Bible make up what we know as one book of the Bible itself. Over 40 authors, over 1,500 years of history, of recording history and writing this down, and it's one story about one God, one plan, one Savior. One story where the Old Testament and New Testament are not disconnected, but it tells one story laid out for us to learn and see for our lives today. Really, the Old Testament lays the foundation that the New Testament stands upon. Without the book of Genesis, you miss out on understanding all the backstory and how it ties everything together in the New Testament. Without the promises and the prophecies and all the things that were predicted that are going to happen in the future, you miss out on the wonder and the power of the New Testament. So today, and in this new series we're kicking off called Timeless, I want to show you how the Old Testament and New Testament are beautifully connected. How God has woven timeless truths throughout the entire Bible, the cross-references that are filled throughout the Bible that still transform our lives today. We're going to look at several different people from the Old Testament and learn how to practically apply the lessons that we learn to our lives. So timeless, past lives, present purpose, that's what we're going to dive into for the next several weeks. Today I'm going to give a little bit broader summary of the Bible, and then we're going to look at a story from the Old Testament as well. But I want to start with the main character of the Bible. This isn't a trick question. Who's the main character of the Bible? Jesus, right? Let's say it again. Who's the main character of the Bible? Jesus, right? Whenever you read a story, there's only one main character. His name is Jesus. So the main character, Jesus, in his story, that one story that's written, he says this. What we see in him, actually, after the resurrection, in Luke 24, Jesus rises from the dead. He's walking on the road to Emmaus with these two guys. And these guys are talking about Jesus, and Jesus comes along. They don't know it's him. But Jesus doesn't just reveal himself to these guys. He doesn't say, hey, guys, I'm Jesus. In fact, the guys are like questioning, like, are you the only one who doesn't know what's going on? And Jesus is kind of like, I think in his mind, like, I'm the only one who knows what's going on. But he's walking with these two guys, and he starts, it says, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. What did he do? He opened the scriptures to them. He spoke the scriptures. What scriptures did he use? The Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament yet. It was being lived out and written down. So he went to the Old Testament, Moses, the prophets, the scriptures, and those scriptures were revealing of who Jesus really is, the Messiah, the one that they were walking with, yet they did not recognize him. A little bit later, in a few verses, Jesus is back in Jerusalem with his disciples. And he said to them, when I was with you before, in verse 44, I told you that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and in the Psalms must be fulfilled. He talks about the three major components of the Old Testament, the law of Moses, the prophets, that's the major and minor prophets, and the Psalms. He says, all those things were written about me. So he says, all those things that were written about me, they must be fulfilled. Again, confirming how important the Old Testament, the scriptures really are. In John chapter 5, he's actually having this dialogue with religious leaders, the Pharisees, and they're questioning him about who he is, and he flat out claims that he is God. In verse 39, he says, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life, but the scriptures point to me. Jesus lays it out. He's so clear. There's no room for interpretation. He says, those scriptures that you're arguing about, those theological baits and information that you're arguing about, because the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and they argued over all this information. He goes, hey, those scriptures actually talk about me, but you're missing the picture. You're not giving your life to me because you're so caught up in the information, you haven't surrendered your life to me. Jesus talked so highly of the Old Testament. How much more should we be learning and reading and studying the Old Testament, because it points to Jesus? Again, it's not two separate stories, but one story. There's a few graphs I want to show you. The first one here, probably the most common one, the most well-recognized one, this shows all the cross-references in the Bible, beginning with Genesis all the way to Revelation. This long line right in the middle is Psalm 119. It's the longest chapter of the Bible. All these are chapters of the Bible. And every one of those lines, there's 63,779 cross-references where something mentioned in one part of the Bible is connected to another part of the Bible. You can see the Old Testament connected to the New Testament, the Old Testament connected to itself, the New Testament connected to itself. All of these cross-references combined together, over 63,000 cross-references, that shows that God had to be the author of something so amazing and so miraculous. No man, no amount of men, no matter how intelligent, no matter how wealthy, no matter how good they are, could ever put together something as great as the Bible, as something as true, as something as honest, as something as real, as something as powerful as what we have as the Word of God. Only God could do this. Men could not have possibly created all this and actually walked it out. There's another graph I want to show you. Just in the book of Luke, we see thousands of references. This is on the left side, Luke, 24 chapters, all these different mentions and how they connect to different books in the Bible. Most of the books of the Bible on the right side. Look how thick that line is of all those references just in one of the gospel accounts. Again, I share this to show you how interwoven, how connected the Old Testament is to the New Testament, to see that God is the author of what we have as the Bible, that men didn't write this, men recorded it down, but God is the author of the Bible, because nobody else could write a piece, a work of literature as wonderful and beautiful as what we have in the Bible. So we see Jesus in the Old Testament. Here's just a few of the examples. In Genesis, the book of Genesis promises a coming deliverer, that there's going to be a deliverer for God's people. And Exodus presents a Passover lamb. Leviticus reveals a perfect sacrifice. The whole Levitical law and all the things that needed to be done to sacrifice animals, to make a sacrifice for temporary covering of our sin. Leviticus all points to Jesus as the perfect sacrifice. Isaiah, messianic prophet, speaking about the suffering servant who's going to come, who Jesus walked out. Micah predicted his birthplace in Nazareth. Zechariah predicts his betrayal. And so many more things that we see. Thousands of prophecies, things that were written in the Old Testament, speaking into the future. This is how you will know who the Messiah is. This is how you will know that whoever that guy is, these will be all the signs. And Jesus fulfilled them. Jesus walked them out. Jesus lived them. He overcame death, burial, and resurrected. That's how we know who Jesus is, and why we put our faith in him is not just because of what he did, but he fulfilled so much of history. The Bible is not a random collection of stories. It's not Aesop's fables. It's not just a bunch of myths and a bunch of storytelling. It's history. It's so much of one story that God is writing, the story of redemption for each and every one of us. Paul shares in Romans 15, some very practical reasons why we should read the Old Testament. He's giving instruction. He's talking about how when they're making these mistakes, and he tells them such things were written in the scriptures. He's trying to help them. These lessons, these things you can learn, they were written in the scriptures long ago to what? To teach us. We learn from the scriptures, the Old Testament, to teach us. And the scriptures give us what? Hope. How many of you could use some more hope in your life, right? Of all of the three big ones in Corinthians, right? Faith, hope, and love. Faith, love will last forever. It's the greatest one. But faith and hope while we live here today until Jesus returns are the most powerful things that we can have. Hope is where you go through life not just hoping to get by, not just hoping things get better, not just hoping for heaven to be real and someday you die and go be there. Hope is something that the scriptures give us now. We can have hope for today. We can have hope for life and life abundantly now. On earth as it is in heaven, as Jesus taught us to pray, that we live our lives, but we read the scriptures and it gives us hope. It builds faith within us and it puts courage in us. That encouragement that comes to have courage to step out and be bold for Jesus, to live our lives not compromised to the world, but following Jesus as we wait patiently for God's promises to be fulfilled. If you didn't need hope or encouragement, I think we all need a little more patience. Amen? Especially with newborns. We need some patience. But Paul gives these very practical reasons for why we should study the Old Testament. Why else does the Old Testament matter? Well, three things. You see God's character. We see God's character in the Old Testament. We learn timeless truths. And we understand Jesus more clearly. There's three things that the Old Testament wasn't written merely for information, but was written for transformation. We learn more about God and his character. The same God of Genesis is the same God in Matthew. The same God who parted the Red Sea is the same one who calms the storms in the New Testament. The same God who delivered his people still delivers us today. We see God's character, and cultures change. Governments change, technology changes, certainly the weather changes, not in Pittsburgh, it's always dreary and rainy, but things change, but God does not change. In Malachi, the last book of the Bible, in chapter 3, verse 6, God says this, I am the Lord, and I do not change. God himself, even in Malachi, looking back at the Old Testament, and today, looking back over all of history, we can see God doesn't change. In the context of Malachi, he's actually talking about how the people of Israel were rebelling, they were disobeying, yet God was still merciful. We see his holiness, we see his justice, and we see his mercy and his grace. We see that God is faithful. He's been faithful since the Garden of Eden. He's faithful today. He does not change. That the same God who was working then is working now. The second thing we have is timeless truths, things that we learn from people of the past. Now we're going to look at next week, and actually the next several weeks, I have a list of them we're going to be looking at Abraham, Noah, Moses, Jonah, Daniel, Esther, some of these stories of Old Testament characters. Now, maybe you're new to church, maybe you didn't grow up in church, and a lot of these names you probably have heard of, or you know somebody by one of those names, but you don't know the meaning or the backstory of that. And I want you to come every single week. And this goes not just for new people, but the word is alive and speaks to us. When we read the story of Abraham, when we read the story of Noah, we read the story of Moses, God's word still speaks to us, and he illuminates things to us that apply today. So it's not just looking at old stories. And one of the things we fail to do, I think, at times, we see ancient people, ancient culture, ancient things. That's all the past. Well, we're never going to learn how to walk into our future until we learn from the past. But also, there's so much of us that we see in each and every one of these. And next week, Father's Day, I just want to say, everyone, Father's Day is next Sunday. Maybe that's news to you. Maybe that you just learned that information. But next week is Father's Day. Next Sunday here, I'm going to spill the beans. I'm going to tell everyone here. We're giving away beef jerky for the men, okay? I know guys like meats, right? How many like beef jerky? How many guys like beef jerky? All right, so you're all coming. I'll see you next week. Beef jerky, but not only beef jerky. I have a message that I really feel is so powerful about Abraham and Isaac, a father and a son. It's a story about sacrifice. It's a story about obedience. It's a story about trusting God that I believe is going to impact every single man in this room who shows up next week, but it's going to be for every single one of us to understand how the Old Testament points to our lives today and ultimately points to Jesus. So come next week, and men and women invite a guy to come next week. Men, invite a coworker, invite a friend, invite your golf buddy, invite somebody, invite a family member to come next week, because it's going to be such a powerful time, I believe, of worship, of the message coming alive, and they get beef jerky. If nothing else, beef jerky, free coffee. Get them here. God will do the rest. But oftentimes we fail to see ourselves in these stories. We fail to see ourselves in these characters. But the Bible is not only history, it's a mirror. The Bible is actually, it says in James, like the word, the law is like a mirror. Now, a good mirror reflects what is looking into it accurately. I know there's this funny mirrors at Kennywood and different places that make you look tall and fat and skinny and all those things. But a real mirror, a true mirror, is something that simply reflects what is looking into it. The Bible is similar in that when you read the Bible, when you look at Scripture, it reveals who you really are, where you are. And then the better thing with the Bible instead of the mirror is it helps you change and transform to become more like the main character of Jesus. And when we read the Bible, the history of it, we see the pride of Pharaoh still exists today. When we're really honest, we read these stories and we say, wow, he's so full of pride. Oftentimes, if we're honest, we say, I can be like that at times. Or with the fear of Moses or Moses' inadequacy or insecurities, we can go, yeah, sometimes I feel that way. Or the rebellion of Jonah. God said, go here. Jonah went the opposite direction. That rebellion still exists today. We can rebel. We disobey God. And sometimes we go the opposite direction of what he's telling us. But here's some good news. The faith of Abraham still exists today. The faith to trust God when it doesn't make sense. It doesn't look like there's any possible way. That faith of Abraham still exists today. The courage of Esther to put her life on the line for her people, that courage still exists today. When we see the Old Testament and see these characters, we learn those timeless truths from past lives that apply to our present purpose and how we can walk it out today. See, human nature repeats itself again and again, but God's faithfulness is always there again and again. You know, the purpose of a mirror is to show yourself. And, you know, if you've ever been to a gym with the mirrors on the wall, anybody ever been to a gym with the mirrors on the wall? How about just a gym? Maybe, you know, some of us, walked by one. But often they have mirrors in the gym. And unfortunately, most people think those mirrors are to look at themselves and take pictures and look at how great they are and so they can post and get more followers. Now, that's not, like, always bad. Maybe it's a little vain. But the reality is the mirror is supposed to show you where you're not lifting correctly. So get this, there's a mirror and you're lifting weights. The point of the mirror is to look at the mirror and watch how you're lifting. If I'm doing curls and I'm going like this, I'm going to hurt my back. But if I'm just trying to breathe and watch get the weights up, I might not realize that my form is incorrect. So when I look at the mirror, I can go, oh, I can keep my form correct. The mirror is meant to show you where you're not doing something correctly so that you can correct it. It's to correct your form. It's to train you, to help you see things that you wouldn't see without the mirror. The Bible's the same way. In 2 Timothy 3, he says, the Bible is good for teaching, for correction, for training. We read the scriptures to help us see how we're not measuring up. We're not lining up. We're not living our lives as we're supposed to. But then how do we change and transform our lives to be more like the main character, Jesus? Right? It shows us where we're not actually doing exactly what we're supposed to and become more like him. It's not to beat us up and hold us down. It's to help us. It's to train us. It's to correct us. Ultimately, the whole Old Testament points to Jesus. And the story we're going to end with is where it all begins, the story of Adam and Eve. The story of Adam and Eve is really a story about Jesus. In Genesis 3, just to give a little context here, Adam and Eve were created for perfect fellowship with God. Right, God creates the Garden of Eden. He places Adam and gives him a wife, and all the things are perfect. It's beautiful. It's wonderful. There's an abundance. There's health. It's perfect. Perfect paradise. There's no shame. There's no sin. There's no separation. There's no calories. There's no need to go to the gym. I mean, everything's perfect. It's wonderful. But then the serpent comes along, and Adam and Eve, they take the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and they eat it. And then the very next moment, in Genesis 3:7, it says their eyes were opened, and they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness, so they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. what happened was Adam and Eve sinned. They rebelled. They disobeyed God. And everything changed. First, they saw their nakedness. The first thing they felt and experienced was shame because of their sin. They tried to cover it themselves by sewing fig leaves together. God came looking for Adam, and Adam's hiding. He actually says in verse 10, "I heard you walking in the garden, so I hid. I was afraid because I was naked." You know, humanity has been doing the same thing that Adam did ever since. We sin, we disobey, we rebel, we go against God. We feel shame, we feel guilt, we feel condemnation. So then we go and hide, often in fear, often because we know we messed up, so we go and hide. My children do that. When they make a mistake, they try to hide it. They try to cover it up. We do the same thing with God. It might not be as obvious to us, but when we sin, when we screw up, when we do something that's disobeying God, we typically, you should feel shame. You should feel guilt. You should feel bad, but not let it go to where we try to hide and we try to live with that guilt and condemnation. What we try to do is often, just like Adam and Eve do, we try to put fig leaves over our nakedness, over our shame. Fig leaves are like religion, are like good works. Trying to be a good person because you know you aren't a good person, so you try to make yourself look like a good person. You try to cover up the thing that you feel embarrassed about. Now, being a good person is not a bad thing. We should all be good people. But if it's being a good person to cover up our sin or to cover up our shame, it's never going to erase the guilt. It's never going to fix the sin. It's never going to eradicate the condemnation that you're feeling. The result of their disobedience was they were separated from God. The same thing happens for us. When we sin, there's separation from God. But notice what God does. In verse 21, it says, "The Lord God made garments of skin for Adam and his wife and clothed them." Don't miss this. For animal skins to exist, something had to die. A sacrifice had to be made. God had to take the skins from an animal, innocent animal, to cover the guilty nakedness and shame of Adam and Eve. This is the first glimpse of the gospel. It's right here in Genesis. The covering came from God. The sacrifice was provided by God. The guilty were covered by God. We cannot cover ourselves in any permanent or eternal sense. But Jesus did the same thing for us, not as an animal sacrifice, not as a temporary covering, but a permanent covering of our sin. In Hebrews 9:22, he writes, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness." For Adam and Eve to have a covering, the animal had to be killed. But in the future, in our time, and even today, the shedding of blood, there can be no forgiveness without the shedding of blood. The blood that comes from Jesus. That's what we were singing about this morning. The blood of Jesus, that crimson flow that turns us white as snow, that turns us from our death and our darkness and our sin and our shame, and it leads us into life and forgiveness and hope and encouragement. The shedding of blood must take place for the forgiveness of sins. We can't just say, "God, I'm sorry, give me a do-over." There has to be a payment. There has to be a sacrifice in order to be forgiven. In 1 Corinthians 15, Paul says this. He contrasts Adam and Jesus. He says, "So you see, just as death came into the world through one man, through Adam, now the resurrection from the dead has begun through another man, through Jesus. Just as everyone dies because we all belong to Adam, everyone who belongs to Christ will be given new life." Being a descendant of Adam, as all of us are, was not our choice. But Jesus says in John chapter 5, he says, "You have the choice. Whoever hears my word and obeys will have eternal life." The good news is that we can choose to accept Jesus. It's not a question of, is Jesus the Savior? The question is, have you accepted him as payment, as covering for your sin and for your shame, for your nakedness, for your fear, for your guilt, for all of your inadequacies, for everything we fall short to God? He is the covering, the permanent, eternal covering that we have. See, Adam brought sin. Jesus brought salvation. Adam brought death, where Jesus brought life. Adam hid in shame. Jesus invites us into his grace. Sin separated us, but Jesus' sacrifice saves us. He reconciles us, brings us back into right relationship with him. Those animal skins in Genesis were a foreshadowing of what happened on the cross, that Jesus gave his life as the ultimate sacrifice, the perfect sacrifice, the only sacrifice that could remove sin, wash away our sins. Jesus is the center of the entire story, the story of redemption, the story of grace. The Bible really is a story of rescue. It's not about a bunch of amazing people doing amazing things. It's actually about an amazing God rescuing a broken people. Can we say amen? Praise God that it's not about how good we are. It's all about how good God is. He rescues a broken people who are desperate for him. You're not saved because you're so good. You're saved because you're in desperate need of a Savior. The Bible, if we're really honest, should never be something we tout about. We say, look at how much I know. But it should show us how much we don't know, how much we need a Savior, how much we need to be rescued by the only one who could rescue us. Maybe you're here today. Maybe you're watching online. And you've been trying to sew fig leaves together. You've been trying to swear a little less. You've been trying to drink a little less. You've been trying to go to church, be a good person, do good. Be kind. All those things are great. But if you're doing it as a means to cover for your sin, it's temporary. It's not going to do it. It's not going to be enough. Religion and good works will never be enough to cover you for your sin. It's only by the shedding of the blood of Jesus that we can be forgiven, that we can have eternal life with him. So I'm going to invite you just to bow your heads, close your eyes. Those watching online, if you could just join us in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you, God, that you created us to be in perfect relationship with you. God, we see your character in the garden, that you wanted to be in relationship with Adam and Eve. God, you don't change. That still exists today, that you want to have a relationship with each and every one of us. That, God, you desire for us to know you, to find freedom in you, to discover our purpose that you have put inside of us, that God, we would make an impact in our world by pointing other people to you. God, I thank you for the freedom that we have in Jesus. The only freedom that lasts for eternity is through the blood of Jesus Christ. God, I pray right now for every single person in this room, God, that we would not just glaze over the Old Testament or think it's some ancient text, but God, we would know and see how important it is to read the scriptures, to dive into the scriptures, not just to look for stories, but to look for you, to look for Jesus, to look for truth, those timeless truths that apply to our lives today. And God, I pray that we would see the wonder, the power, the miraculous work that is the Bible, your word that speaks to us, that comes alive to us. God, I pray we learn from Adam and Eve that we would not walk in disobedience. We would not try to hide from you or live in fear of you. But God, we would desire to receive you as our covering. God, we'd receive you and accept you as our personal Lord, as our personal Savior, the only one who could ever pay for our sins and wash us white as snow. That's why within this mode of prayer, if you're here today, and you want to give your life to Jesus, you want to accept him as your Lord, as your Savior, as the covering for your sin, I want to pray for you. I want you just to do something real simple. Maybe you've done this before and you say, I want to recommit my life. I want to rededicate that Jesus would be my Savior, that he covers my sin. All I'm asking you is to slip up your hand right where you are, and I want to pray for you. If you want to make that decision to surrender your life to Jesus, rededicate your life right now. Just ask you to raise your hand, and I'll pray for you. Amen. Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, for every person making that decision in their heart. God, as your word says, we hear your word, we choose to obey your word, that we inherit eternal life. God, I thank you for each and every person who's making that decision today, to have their sins washed away. God, to walk a new way with you. God, that they would be born again, a new creation in Christ Jesus. God, I pray they would know that they can come to you and confess their sin to you, that, God, you are right and just to forgive us of our sin because of your shed blood on the cross. And God, I pray they would stay the course, walking with you, learning about you, and applying everything they learn in the word to their lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Can we give God a great big hand? Those people making that decision, if you've made that decision online as well, you can fill that out online. You can scan the tap card with your phone if you're in this room right now. We want you to be able to let us know that you surrendered your life to Jesus, and we're going to help you identify your next steps with him as well. So grateful to be here with you. Jared, come on up and close us out.
Amen. Thank you so much, Pastor Eric, for the word. It's so great to be able to unpack the Old Testament, really the foundation of our faith that had begun. So thank you for being faithful and sharing that with us here this morning. And I just want to say welcome. I think I saw some newer faces, some folks I haven't gotten to meet yet. If you're new here with us this morning, we do want to welcome you and thank you so much for choosing to spend part of your Sunday with us. We would love to hear more about who you are, your story, maybe how God brought you here today. And really just a simple way to do that would be to take out your cell phone. There's actually a tap card on the seat back in front of you. Or scan the QR code, just filling out some general information. We'd be able to keep in touch with you. Also, out on your way out of the door today, at the connection point by the exit, we want to put a gift in your hand, just as our way of saying thank you. Also, a good reminder throughout the week with some of the goodies there in the gift bag for you of your time with us here in worshiping God together. And maybe, as Pastor Eric mentioned, maybe you gave your life to Jesus, or maybe you had a long time ago. We all know that we all have a next step that we can take in our relationship with God. And because of that, we have what we call our Next Steps class that we actually host here at Freedom Church twice a month. It is taking place today, immediately following dismissal, out the hallway to the left, around the cafe in the room there. It'll be a great opportunity for you to really learn and discover how God has uniquely gifted you to make a transformative impact in this church, but really the world around you as well. There will be food and childcare provided. If you can't make it, we do have Next Steps twice a month, every month. Feel free to sign up, and that way we can prepare with food and childcare as well in advance for the future. You know, as Pastor Eric has mentioned, next Sunday will be Father's Day, and we're going to have good old goody treats for us here. But men, how many of you guys know one thing that might be better, I would say, is better than beef jerky is wings? Can I get an amen? Thank you. Yeah, thank you. So somebody knows the truth. So because of that, we actually are going to have a great time of fellowship with our men's wing night. That will be coming up on Monday, June 29th. It will be from 6:30 to 8. Really just a time for us men to really enjoy good food together, develop relationships. I know that the intentional friendships and relationships that I've had in my life have made all the transformative impact in my walk with Jesus. And so I encourage you to come on out, eat good food, and have good fellowship with some great, great godly men here at the church. It is a free event. Bring friends. Invite friends, coworkers. It'll be a great time just to get them in the doors and get to meet some great people here as well. Last but certainly not least, if my wife Mary could come up to the stage. This upcoming week, a Wednesday afternoon, evening, all day Thursday and all day Friday, the 6th through 12th grade ministry here at Freedom Church are going away to a conference called Encounter Conference. We've gone the last couple years really near and dear to my heart. I actually gave my life to Jesus when I was, I think, 16 years old. I know you were about 17 years old. So I encountered the Lord at a young age, and I was so grateful for that and really do believe in sowing into the next generation that they would also have an opportunity to encounter God. I want to encourage you guys throughout the week to be praying for us, believing that these middle school and high school students will have a transformative encounter with Jesus that will change the course of their life forever. My wife Mary is actually going to pray, and we're going to believe God big for all the awesome things that's going to happen. Also, pray for the leaders. We're going to be staying with these kids for a few days, so it's going to be a great, great time. Pray for us, but here you go, hon.
Thanks. Yeah, we're super excited. There are currently about 19 of us who are going, I think 11 students, however many leaders. but I want to say it's not too late. So if there's a teenager in your life, maybe a sibling or a niece or nephew or a neighbor, someone who just really wants to encounter God in a really big way, we want you to get them signed up. You can go on the church website, I think, in the Church Center app, or just come talk to me, talk to Jared. We'll figure it out. We'll make it happen. It is $95, but there could be a sponsorship opportunity, so don't let that be an issue. I just want to share that we went a couple times now, and I was thinking of this story where this girl who was in our group you know, she came, a friend invited her, and I asked her on the first day on Wednesday, you know, what brings you here? And she's like, honestly, I don't believe in God. She's like, I'm just here to have a good time. I heard there's a rock climbing wall. There's some video games. Like, wanted to get away from my family for a few days. And so she came to conference. The last night of conference, after, you know, there's 2.5 days of worship and just wonderful teachings from the Bible and just fellowship, hanging out with the kids. The end of that 2.5 day, the same 13-year-old girl comes running out of the church, bawling her eyes out, saying, I just met Jesus in a really real way, and I just began to sing to him, and I saw him, and I know he's real, and I'm going to give my life to him. And I'm like, okay, you know. And so in 2.5 days of just setting time aside for these young people to encounter God, it's just a really wonderful thing. And so please, if you know someone, we'd love to have them join us. But please be praying that our young people in our church would have those same kind of encounters with God that just put them on a trajectory. So why don't we stand up? We'll pray together for the students, for the Encounter Conference, and then you'll be dismissed. So, Father, we thank you so much. God, we thank you that that you give us so many opportunities to know you, Lord. God, I thank you that you have such plans for these next few days. God, we pray over the students, God, our Freedom Youth students who will be there. Father, I pray now that you would begin just softening their hearts, Lord God, preparing their minds to just receive the word of God. Father, I thank you that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And so I pray that as they sit under these teachings, Lord, that you would just awaken faith in the hearts of these students, Lord. I pray, God, that you would create opportunities that they would be set free from whatever things they might be struggling with, whether it be anxiety or depression or just needing, you know, some refreshment from your presence. God, I pray that you would make that happen, Lord. Father, you know, it's not just our 11 students, but there's going to be up to 1,000 students at this conference. And so I pray, God, that as we set our hearts to you, Lord God, that that you'd fill us with your Holy Spirit, God, that so many teenagers in this region would just be set on fire for King Jesus, that they would go into their schools after this conference ready to tell Pittsburgh about Jesus. Lord, I pray that revival would just break out even in our youth group, Lord, that you would take these 11 and just put the word in them and put faith in them, Lord God, that when they come back, that the youth ministry would grow to hundreds, Lord God, because they would be telling everyone about the goodness and the faithfulness of our God. We just thank you so much for the word you've given to us today through Pastor Eric, Lord. I pray, God, that it would just encourage us that you are faithful, that you are the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that you do not change, Lord God. So I pray over all of us today, God, that you would bless us, Lord, that you would allow us to encounter you and know you and love you better this whole week, Lord God. We can't wait to return and testify of what you've done in the next few days to come. We love you and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, guys. You're all dismissed. Have a wonderful week.